Hello. Thanks for listening to Over the Counter, the podcast from Drug Topics. Welcome back to our ThoughtSpot 2020 series in partnership with Good Neighbor Pharmacy and AmerisourceBergen. In this episode, we're welcoming guest host Brian Nightingale, president of Good Neighbor Pharmacy, who will be joined by Rich Chamonte, executive vice president and president of Community and Specialty Pharmacy at AmerisourceBergen, as well as Doug Hoey, CEO of the National Community Pharmacist Association. Brian, Rich, and Doug will be discussing the biggest opportunities and headwinds facing independent pharmacies in 2021. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for tuning in to our ThoughtSpot 2020 podcast in partnership with Drug Topics. I'm Brian Nightingale, president of Good Neighbor Pharmacy, and I'm joined today by Rich Tremonti, executive vice president and president of Community and Specialty Pharmacy at AmerisourceBergen, and Doug Hoey, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association. Thank you both for being here today. Really appreciate you joining.
You're welcome, Brian. Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Brian.
So a lot going on for sure. Today, we're going to be discussing the year ahead, 2021, and some of the biggest opportunities and headwinds facing independent pharmacies in the year ahead. It's hard to believe that 2020 is almost over, but I think we're all probably relieved to be able to say that. So we'll talk about how the industry is working to help independents, address some of these challenges and certainly take advantage of opportunities that lie ahead and continue providing accessible care to patients across the country. So really looking forward to the conversation. Doug, I think I'll start with you. When you think about entering into 2021, what are some of the primary issues or headwinds that you and the team at NCPA are kind of planning for?
Yeah, Brian. Well, first of all, thanks to Good Neighbor Pharmacy and ABC for the opportunity to talk with you today. But yeah, 2020 has made a huge mess for the world and for pharmacy. So there's going to be a lot of cleanup going on in 2021. Some of those issues that NCPA has been focused on is changing the pharmacy payment model. And when we say that, we are talking about the prescription reimbursement, but we're talking about well beyond that as well. We're talking about payment system that's confusing, it's complex, and it's very covert for patients as well as for pharmacies. So we'll be focused on pharmacy DIRs. Those continue to ravage independent pharmacies and close not only independents, but also chain pharmacies. So pharmacy DIRs will be a primary focus. Reform to Medicaid managed care, because we're seeing that a lot of states are not getting a good deal with their PBMs. And so those dollars could be better spent by the state to fairly pay the pharmacy and do other things with those dollars, repair some roads, build some bridges, fight a pandemic. So those are two of the headwind issues. And the list could go on, Brian, but the third one I'll mention is the administration of the vaccine. So I believe that some of that will begin in this year, but the widespread administration of the vaccine will largely take place, I believe, in 2021. And the role of pharmacists in the administration of that vaccine is crucial. We've said many times to the CDC and to the Health and Human Services that if independent pharmacists are not playing a central role, in the administration of the vaccine, then the rollout will not be successful. Conversely, it will be successful if independents are playing that central role. So I'll pause there, Brian, but there's plenty to do in 2021.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we'll talk a little bit more about vaccination and COVID-19 in a minute as well, spend a little bit more time on that. But Rich, from your perspective, anything to add?
Sure. Thank you, Brian. And through our membership in NCPA and other associations, ABC, we continue to collaborate with the pharmacy community on key legislative issues. So I just wanted to acknowledge that partnership and thank Doug for that collaboration. And very similar and aligned with many of the things Doug mentioned, as we look into 2021, DIR fees was top of my list. And that was something we see firsthand, Brian, as you know, through our business coaches and through our relationships with our customers. It's a struggle. It's a struggle because it's unpredictable and it's very covert, as Doug said. Provider status is something else that Doug mentioned. This is something we fight for every day, but we need to have these pharmacies recognized under Medicare Part B, especially during a pandemic and all that they're doing. And frankly, you know, they're being looked upon to be the front line and be the number one place to go for our entire community, our entire population. So that's something I'm hoping that through this pandemic, we can continue to push. And then overall, I mean, I think it gets lost on folks. Every day, our pharmacies are getting reimbursed underwater for products. And sometimes that could be $2, and sometimes that could be hundreds or even thousands of dollars. And they're being put in a position where they may have to send a patient away because the reimbursement is just would put their pharmacy out of business. So that continuity of care for that patient is really being jeopardized through reimbursement. So really looking forward to making strides in all of these different areas of reimbursement moving forward.
Yeah, take kind of DIR situation, for example, and kind of drive that home a little bit. You know, heard from one of our member pharmacies, you know, last year when they got a retroactive DIR fee, and that particular fee for that particular quarter was more than that pharmacy's entire payroll for a month. So that's kind of the impact these things have in terms of, you know, especially, you know, retroactive, not knowing when they're going to hit and not knowing how much they're going to be. And all of a sudden, you know, it's the equivalent of payroll for a month or more. So it's a real problem that has to be addressed, you know, sooner rather than later, for sure. Let's talk about really a very historic argument that's being considered right now in the Supreme Court, that Rutledge versus Pharmaceutical Care Management Association that was heard on October 6th. And Doug, I know that NCPA hosted a pre-hearing and post-hearing update, which hopefully is still available on your YouTube site, because it was really insightful. I have to say that when I, you know, listened to it at first, I was listening to the hearing, and I was a little bit discouraged until the experts got on and said how well it went. So I'd love to hear your perspective on that and how you think it went and what it means for pharmacy.
Yeah, the Rutledge versus PCMA case. I mean, when we look back at the history of pharmacy, and this may sound hyperbolic, but when we look back at the history of pharmacy, the Rutledge versus PCMA will be in the annals of the pharmacy history books, hopefully coming out the right way, which the right way from NCPA's perspective, and I think from most of pharmacy's perspective, with just very few exceptions, the magic word that we're all looking for is the word reversal. So what the Supreme Court case would do would be to reverse the lower court's rulings that said that states did not have the authority to regulate PBMs. And so the Supreme Court case, if it reverses the lower courts, it would allow states the ability to have more oversight of PBMs, which largely they go unregulated right now. You know, I really picked up on, as far as the hearing itself, it's just hard. It's hard to gauge. I mean, it was back and forth. There were times when I was, you know, really excited about the line of questioning from the justices. And then a few times I thought, that's trouble. I thought that the Nick Brawny, the Solicitor General from the Arkansas, from the state of Arkansas, did a great job. Also arguing with the state of Arkansas was the United States government. One of the assistant solicitor generals of the United States, Fred Liu, also argued in favor of the state of Arkansas's position. And I thought he was superb. But we won't find out how the justices weigh in on this until probably almost certainly next year. They have to rule by June 30th, because that's when this session ends. Adding even more complication to it is that there are only 8 justices, at least for the moment, although a 9th one is very likely very soon. But that 9th justice won't have heard the case. So they'll have to decide if there's a tie, if they have to rehear the case. So that could complicate things. But you know, one way or the other, we'll find out. We'll get an answer. I mean, we'll get some clarity around whichever way the justices rule. And one of the things we know on that clarity is that, you know, the PBMs are arguing that, hey, states can't regulate me because I'm a health plan. Well, if you're a health plan, then you have a fiduciary responsibility to your clients. And PBMs have argued forever that, oh, no, we don't have a fiduciary responsibility. So one way or the other, either as a fiduciary responsibility or more regulation from the state, there's going to be additional clarity from the Supreme Court case. So we're optimistic and, like everyone, excited and waiting with bated breath to hear how the justices rule.
Yep, that's the case for sure. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Doug.
Any predictions?
I won't predict the president here either. But I will tell you, you know, this is something I think, you know, we all agree with Doug. This is a landmark case. And at the end of the day, the only thing I can add is, you know, as ABC, we really want this to head in the place of transparency, right? That's what this is all about. We know that there's bipartisan agreement that this is something that it needs to be addressed. We continue to look at the lack of oversight, having just real repercussions for small business. In this Supreme Court case, we're all hoping and praying we'll really be able to launch us to where we've been trying to go forever. And, you know, we've through various initiatives within our business, Brian, as you know, have tried to push for independent pharmacy to make sure that they're treated fairly. And we do the best we can. But this is something that could transformationally put us in another level. So we're all looking forward to this, and it will be interesting, and hopefully it will come before June. But I know we'll stay on top of it.
And just to add to what Rich said, you know, you talked about things for 2021, and whichever candidate wins the White House, it's likely to be a sprint those first in 2021 and 2022, because if President Trump wins, he'll be termed out after 4 years. So he has 4 years left. If Vice President Biden wins, a lot of people speculate, because he is, you know, he'll be 78 when he takes 78 years old when he takes the office, if he should win, that he may only be in for one term. Again, speculation, but there's a lot of signs that there will be a lot of push those first couple of years for things like drug pricing reform, which affects pharmacy DIR, and which also the Supreme Court case ruling will have a bearing on. So 21 and 22 are particularly key years for pharmacy because of all of these different variables lining up.
Yep. I totally agree. Totally agree. And before we jump fully into 21, Rich, you know, as you reflect upon this last year, you know, 2020, you know, certainly pharmacies have been on the front lines of fighting the pandemic. What are you most proud of? What have you seen with our customer base that really just, you know, makes you proud to be able to support them?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, Brian. You know, we couldn't be prouder of our customers or our manufacturers. When you think about what we do is connecting our manufacturers to our customers, and a great example is the federal government looking to us to work directly with the care in the community to make sure we get product to where it needs to be. And we are GMP. I talk about it all the time, but just like there's great resources on NCPA's website, there's great resources on wearegmp.com's website, and we talk about Fearless Pharmacy, and we have so many great examples and inspiring stories on Fearless Pharmacy that you can go and check out, and it ranges everywhere from compounding of hand sanitizer to helping get lunch to people who are out there on the front lines every day. We really are proud of how agile. So our pharmacy never had a chance to, you know, stay home, right? They had to go to that pharmacy every day, and they found ways, you know, to service their patients, and whether that was sending them through the drive-thru or delivering more than they ever had to in the past. We really, and even we've seen this, we've been able to get closer to our customers, which sounds almost crazy during this time, but we were able to get closer to our customers and maybe not be there physically, but we've communicated with them more than ever. We've had over 10 town halls over the past 6 months, and we've seen how they've worked with their patients, and it's just been amazing. And, you know, for an ABC, from the ABC side, you know, all the investment we've made over the years to make sure that our network is resilient, and there's over $800 million invested over the past 10 years And I always talk about our Olive Branch, Mississippi facility having to be shut down for a week because there was an associate that came down with COVID. In the past, you know, those pharmacies that were serviced out of that Olive Branch, Mississippi facility would have not gotten product. Because of all the work we've done over the years, we were able to transition those lines to other DCs literally overnight. And that's just one of the examples to see that, you know, how we were able to help and how our manufacturers were able to help get care into these communities. And no one does it better than independent pharmacy. And we see that every year with J.D. Power and obviously GNP just doing a great job servicing those patients and always doing really well in the J.D. Power scores.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. And you know, Doug, you mentioned earlier about 2021 being the cleanup of the mess that's been 2020. When you reflect on 2020, what good has come out of it for independent pharmacy?
There's a saying that was popularized by Rahm Emanuel, who was the chief of staff for Obama, and he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I feel a little hesitant to use that phrase during a pandemic because no one wants to take advantage of the negative things that have happened this year. But it has opened doors. And as Rich has said, pharmacies have really shown what they can do, how creative they are. And by the way, the actual person who said that phrase was a guy named Dr. Myron Wiener, who was talking in medical economics. He's the one who actually coined that phrase, don't let a crisis go to waste. And we've seen the creativity from pharmacies. We've seen the point of care testing. We've seen pharmacists being authorized to order and administer tests and now vaccines, including childhood vaccines. And it's an enormous opportunity to accelerate what's already happening in community pharmacy. And when we talk about changing the pharmacy payment model, as I mentioned, it is about, part of it is about getting paid fairly for the product. But another enormous part of it is getting paid for the services that pharmacies provide. And because, you know, in March and April and May, a lot of primary care offices, physician offices were closed because of the pandemic. And once again, pharmacies stepped forward to fill the gap in many situations. So there are, through point of care testing, through the vaccine administration, through really just relying on pharmacies and pharmacists to be able to help manage chronic conditions. And I think as a country, we're figuring out that we may have to do healthcare differently. And so being able to manage those conditions. And related, and I just want to make sure I mention that, and Rich touched on this, but real shout out to GNP and ABC and the whole supply chain to help pharmacies while we're on the front line. You know, we're on the front line, but I didn't hear any complaints from members. I'm sure they existed, but I didn't hear them as far as not getting orders or not being supported. And not only during the pandemic, but during the hurricanes and the fires that have taken place this year as well. So pretty amazing job for ABC, GNP, and the whole distribution channel to make sure we have the products we need to be able to serve patients. So shout out there.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. I think another, I think positive that has come out of this is our ability to educate people on the ability for pharmacists to do more, right? You know, whether we're talking to the CDC, I know NCPA's been in direct communication, as have we, around access to you know, vaccines when they're available, and ensuring that independent pharmacies are at the forefront in being able to vaccinate. And it is amazing how we've been able to educate, you know, policymakers and members of the administration and elsewhere around all that pharmacy can do. And hopefully that will stick around and last long. So I'll stick with you kind of on that theme, Doug, in terms of the future, right? And you know, building upon that momentum, anything to share in terms of you know, how the discussion around, you know, being compensated for services and the Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network, and it seems to be a lot of momentum there and growth within CPSN. What's your outlook there, and any updates to share on where this will go and how close can we get to changing that payment model?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great point, Brian, that the awareness of people in general about pharmacists and the role of pharmacists has really been magnified. It wasn't that long ago that you didn't hear pharmacists, even on a commercial. Now you hear commercial for vaccines and it says, talk to your pharmacist or doctor. And that's a fairly recent evolution. CPSN, which is the Community Pharmacy Enhanced Service Network, that, as you mentioned, it has over 2,600 pharmacies and growing. And the pandemic has helped employers realize that they need pharmacists. I mean, it's just re-emphasized the importance of pharmacists that can help control chronic conditions or help manage chronic conditions. It's also helped with employers who are looking for testing. And there's several opportunities for testing networks with CPSN. The ability for a payer, an employer, a plan sponsor to sign up a network of pharmacies to provide services is increasingly important. Having that single signature, that's one of the challenges, Brian, for independents is that, and we're seeing it with the vaccine where government can have one signature and get 10,000 pharmacies. And that's the easy button for them. So that's a real challenge for independents is how do we make it easy to work with independents? And whether that's CPSN or Elevate or other networks, how to make it easy to work with independents, that's going to be one of the most important things for independents in the future, for our future survival and success. Because if we can't make it easy, the chains have a definite competitive advantage.
Yeah, no, that's great. And Rich, I know we're coming up on the end of our time here, but when we talk about enablement and clinical services, I know you and I have talked about this a lot, and you've supported our strategy here very strongly. So what are your thoughts around how we're supporting independent pharmacies and expanding their ability to provide services?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of bringing all the strategy into execution and our business coaches every day in the pharmacies, as you know, Brian, whether it's helping them through the attainment of a CLIA waiver, everything they need to do to make sure that they're making the right steps to get into areas where they maybe are not comfortable or just haven't had experience in the past. And we do that in many different ways. But, if we stick to the theme of vaccines, I think it's very important and just timely, as well as many other things that can be done in an independent pharmacy or a pharmacy in general. We know there's thousands of pharmacies today that are already performing CLIA, wave tests. And the flu test is obviously the easiest example. I go to a pharmacy to get my flu vaccine, every year. We know over the past 3 years that it's up over 20% through IQVIA data. So, long and short, people are very accustomed, comfortable, and want to go to a pharmacy to get their vaccines, right? This is something I think flu has proven can be done and can be done really well and can be done affordably. And there's no reason, and I'm hopeful, I'm really, really hopeful that one of the key things coming out of this pandemic, and regardless of who wins the presidency or what direction we go in, is that pharmacy and independent pharmacy specifically is the best place right now to go to get care for many, many things. And that's something that we stand behind every day.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. And I'll just add one piece as well. There's a newly launched program that NCPA and the Innovation Center and CPSN has launched this year, and that's the Community Pharmacy Fellowship. Doug, we're certainly honored to be able to sponsor that for the Innovation Center and CPSN, and really looking forward to seeing what comes out of that, in terms of, a 12-month training program to really help practicing pharmacists make that transition to a much more of a clinical services model. And we really do look forward to working with CPSN USA and the NCPA Innovation Center to see how that goes. And I'm really excited about that. I don't know if there's anything you want to share on that, but I'm really excited to see what happens with that.
I do. I'm super excited by that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'd like to say that was my brilliant idea and I thought of that, but that would not be true. And actually my team, they didn't have to twist my arm, but they had to, tell me more about this fellowship program and how it's going to work and will people really sign up? And as a matter of fact, almost 30 people signed up the first year, which we were, that was twice what we expected. We think that's going to continue to grow. And this fellowship program, like you said, Brian, it's for practicing pharmacists. It's not a residency, which residencies are great. This is not to replace them at all, but it's for practicing pharmacists who are in the pharmacy. Most of these pharmacists are going to come back to are going to stay in the pharmacy. Skills that they've learned, the exposure that they have to some of the brightest minds in the industry, they're going to take back to their practice. And you know, I practiced for about 5 years before I came to NCPA. And I think, if I could go back in time and a fellowship program like this was available, my mouth would be watering. It would be ideal, for someone who wants to be able to accelerate their practice. And so we really appreciate GMP's support of this. And I've gone from somewhat skeptical to one of the biggest cheerleaders for the fellowship program.
Yeah, and you tie that with reimbursement reform, right? I mean, you only get one swing at the bat in this case. And certainly with changes that may happen with the Supreme Court ruling, momentum that we're making with payers, our pharmacies need to be ready when there is that ability to provide care and get paid fairly for it. We need thousands of independent pharmacies ready to go, ready to jump in, and ready to prove that we are key players in the healthcare ecosystem and that we are not a cost of the ecosystem. We are a benefit and a driver of savings to healthcare within the United States because of that high touch, white glove treatment that our independent pharmacies are able to provide because they have the time to care for those patients. They have the commitment and certainly they have the support of companies large and small and industry partners like NCPA and certainly Good Neighbor Pharmacy. So covered a lot of ground today. There's certainly a lot more to do. And I love the way you mentioned it, Doug. 2021 will be the cleanup of the mess that was 2020. And we are excited to continue working on that cleanup with NCPA. And Rich, thank you for your support of independent community pharmacy as well. And hopefully we can continue this conversation perhaps after the June timeframe with the Supreme Court.